federal opposition has been wrestling with the challenge of how to lift wages without hurting small and medium-sized businesses who maintain they simply can't afford it. Today, Bill Shorten announced a two-step process to introduce a so-called living wage to be determined by the Fair Work Commission. But any changes won't happen overnight. Instead, Labor would legislate to force the Fair Work Commission to make living standards the key factor of its wage deliberations. Brendan O'Connor is the Shadow Minister for Employment and Workplace Relations, and he joins us here on Drive. Welcome.
Good afternoon, Patricia.
So you've announced this two-step process here. Take me through how it would work.
Sure. Look, I think it's important to note that we're dealing with low wage growth and we're looking at ways to responsibly but effectively increase wages for particularly those that are struggling to make ends meet. So what Labor is looking to do if we're elected is to set the parameters for the Fair Work Commission to focus on a living wage. Therefore, the Commission will call for submissions from employers, employer groups, unions, academics, community organisations about firstly establishing the living wage, finding a definition for it, and listening to the arguments, the competing arguments, and then also then the second step, moving towards introducing that in a way with regard to employment, the effect on the economy and the affordability for business. So really taking into account those things, and I think that will be a very important thing for low-wage workers in this country.
Under your proposal, the Fair Work Commission would use this new criteria in its next annual wage determination in July next year. Does this essentially mean nothing would happen on wages for the first 12 months of a shortened Labor government?
Look, that's a good question. The first thing is we've already made a submission, I may have spoken to you about this already, Patricia, on the National Wage Review that's coming up, and we're in the process of course, the Fair Work Commission considering wage rates for all awards, and that decision will probably occur in June, so after the election, and we hope that the Commission will listen to our arguments to give real wage increases for all award wage employees because we are confronted with the lowest wage growth in many a year. So firstly, we believe the national wage decision and reviewing the award rates will lift wages in real terms if our submission is considered and considered important and relevant to the outcome. Secondly, we've made a commitment to restore penalty rates. There are hundreds of thousands of low-paid retail and hospitality workers that are really confronted with cuts to their wages because of cuts to penalty rates, which will occur again, by the way, on the 1st of July this year. So we'd seek to legislate as a matter of urgency the restoration of penalty rates as they were on the 30th of June 2017. So there are a number of things we'll be doing, but obviously to ensure that we provide the authority to the Fair Work Commission for the living wage, we need to enact legislation, and that has to precede the review process. And therefore, that next part will take some time to ensure we change the law to get the parameters right for the Fair Work Commission.
It will be up to the Fair Work Commission to consult with business and look at the impact of any change on employment, then recommend a phase-in time.
Yep.
So what happens if you think their recommendation is too slow? Do you just accept it? Is that what you've determined?
It is exceptional for Labor to you know, disagree with the Commission, and for example, the penalty rates decision was a very unusual thing for us to do, not only to disagree, but then to propose legislation to respond to it, because there was no compensation and we believed it was unacceptable in the context of low wage growth. However, we believe we'll get the parameters right and believe the Fair Work Commission is best placed. And the reason I say that is because it's important that the independent umpire not just sets a path, but looks at all of the prevailing economic circumstances. So if things are going well, of course they can look to increase the minimum wage further. If they feel that there'll be some impact on employment or affordability for businesses, then it can actually tailor that decision to those circumstances too. And I think having the ability for the panel and the Fair Work Commission to determine that after listening to submissions by employers, unions and others, I think is the best way to do it. Of course, the Commonwealth can always make a submission on the matter, and we haven't made a decision about that. But firstly, we like to get the laws right if we're elected, And, of course, we think if we can set the parameters, we'll allow the Commission to think beyond 1 year. Currently, the Commission really can only think, on the year ahead, and submissions are put to the Commission. I think it's important about the minimum wage, lifting it to a livable wage, that they think beyond that year where possible and adapt to the circumstances where appropriate.
If you're just tuning in, Brendan O'Connor is my guest. He's the Shadow Minister for Employment and Workplace Relations, and he's outlining the changes Labor would make to increase the minimum wage. You'll leave it entirely up to the Fair Work Commission to determine wage increases for people on higher awards. The AI group says this could lead to lower skilled workers earning more than higher skilled workers. What's your response to that?
Well, that's not possible, but I think what the AI
group... Well, they say it's possible.
Yeah, it's not.
You tell me why it's not possible.
If the AI group is concerned about wage compression, that's where you... Of course, if you're raising wage rates and you're raising the lowest rate in this country a little bit higher than that of other wage rates, there would be modest compression of wage relativities. But there is nothing new in that. That has happened in years gone past, where the Commission has, for example, given flat rate increases to lower wage rates rather than percentage increases throughout, thereby giving greater wage increases, greater percentage wage increases for workers below the trades rate. That is something that's been done before, but you do have to be mindful of relativity so that you do... you do have to ensure that you're recognising skill acquisition, recognising responsibility. But you can do it in a very responsible way. There's no way, though, that an unskilled worker's wage rate can go up and compete against the high skilled worker. But there can be some modest compression which you'd have to take into account. Again, the Commission have a good understanding of that, and they'll deal with that. And they'll hear submissions on that too, of course.
Do you accept the argument of business that unless we see an equivalent increase in productivity, any increase in wages will result in job losses, in unemployment?
Well, productivity is increasing, and so too are profits. We do agree that there is... Well, there was once a situation, Patricia, where there seemed to be a correlation, quite clear, a nexus between profits and wage growth and productivity and wage growth. What seems to have happened, and no one knows exactly why around the world, it's happened in other countries too, that you've seen profits and productivity rise, but no commensurate increase to wages. And that's therefore why we're looking to respond. I do think these things do matter, but what's happening currently is that profits are outstripping wage growth fivefold. And so we want to see businesses profit. Of course we do. It's good for a good economy. It grows the economy and increases the likelihood of more employment. But we also want to see people getting a fair share of that economic growth. And that's not happening for some workers in our economy. And this approach, I think, will provide that opportunity for workers to be, receiving a part of that growth.
Just briefly, former New South Wales Labor leader Michael Daly says he won't contest the party leadership. And one of the reasons is not wanting to cause any more distractions for Bill Shorten and the federal campaign. Are you happy with this decision? Does it help you in your federal campaign?
Look, I'm not sure it's that relevant to our federal campaign. I think it's fair that Michael made a decision to withdraw. He was really given an opportunity to lead Labor in New South Wales belatedly, and he's made a decision which certainly, if he believes it will prevent distraction, then he's certainly doing it in the interest of the Labor Party, and that's a good thing. But I'm not sure that's the main focus of people when we're heading into a federal election. They're on other matters and federal issues.
Brendan, thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Patricia.